Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Wendy Gillette. President Biden is still trying to recover more than a week after his first debate with presumptive Republican nominee, former President Donald Trump. He gave an exclusive interview to ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos.
It was a bad episode. No indication of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and I had a bad night.
At least four House Democrats have publicly called for the president to step aside. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
It's not just what he said or didn't say in the debate or in this particular interview. It's more that he appears to even his friends to be more frail.
High heat is making it very tough for firefighters battling the French fire in Central California. A few hours north, CBS's Elise Preston rode along with a paramedic.
In Sacramento, firefighter paramedic Julie Whitney is on high alert. The city has been grappling with temps in the triple digits for 6 days straight.
What are you seeing?
People are experiencing dizziness, nausea, a lot of those symptoms that are just making them very weak.
We were with Whitney as she treated a woman suffering from dehydration.
How quickly can heat illnesses set in?
It can happen within 15 minutes.
South Texas is bracing for Beryl, which is likely to strike the area Monday. John Hall is with Texans on Mission.
So we actually have volunteer teams that are on alert right now. In Corpus, we have teams that are in the Rio Grande Valley, and so they will very much be the first ones to respond.
A Jamaican singer is doing her part to help those affected by the hurricane in her country.
Grammy Award winner Sadella Marley, daughter of legendary reggae artist Bob Marley, is partnering with the group Food for the Poor to raise money to pay for emergency supply shipments to victims of Hurricane Beryl in her native Jamaica.
I think we all have to mobilize for the entire region, not just Jamaica alone, to see how we can help get things back up and running again.
The hurricane killed numerous people in Jamaica and left thousands homeless or displaced. Some of the smaller islands in the Caribbean were hit even harder. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Reformist Masoud Pezeshkian has won Iran's runoff presidential election. The BBC's Khosra Naji.
Mr. Pezeshkian's supporters took to the streets in Tehran and a number of other cities to celebrate even before the final results were officially announced. He pulled some 16 million of the total 30 million votes.
This is CBS News.
Switch to T-Mobile and save with tons of benefits on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Climate change is making many Wisconsinites think about renewable energy. As Mike Moen reports, while people still want non-fossil fuels, there are shifts in what they want that to look like.
The Pew Research Center is out with a new public opinion report on energy choices. 63% of those surveyed support the U.S. taking steps to become carbon neutral by 2050. But support for expanding wind and solar development has gone down from well past 80% to around 75%. Dr. Kieran Gallagher of the group Clean Wisconsin feels it's important to remind residents that climate change is happening at their doorstep.
We can point to the drought that affected our farmers last summer, and then in stark comparison, the intense rain and flooding events we've been experiencing this spring and summer.
She mentions last summer's smoky air from Canadian wildfires as another example. Advocates say these events might help convince the public to regain confidence in renewables as policymakers try to limit climate disasters. Grid operators warn that as more coal plants and other fossil sources come offline to meet clean energy goals, reliability issues might surface in the short term as energy demand soars. But Gallagher says it doesn't mean wind and solar are failing to keep the lights on.
These last few winters, the energy source that has failed is gas power plants. Solar and wind in some of the recent storms have outperformed more than they expected.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission points out that in a 2022 winter storm that impacted parts of the Midwest, 90% of prolonged outages were linked to fossil sources. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mix of sun and clouds today, a high in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, pop-up storms in the afternoon and evening, highs to the upper 70s. Rain chances continue on Monday and Tuesday. It's 60 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, we'll discuss the latest Republican power grab and the reasons to vote in August against two constitutional referendums.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
July 6th, 2024. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I am joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board, my guest continuing from the first hour, former legislator and recently acquitted of false charges and election fraud, Kathleen Cummings. And in the second hour, I have my good friend James Santel, who you'll be catching from 9 to 11 with his show that I call affectionately Atticus, a law review, although it's Amicus. And but before we begin with Kathleen, we have our first leg on our farmers market report. Susie, are you there? Susie, hello.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Good, good. Tell us about the farmers market on this good. Beautiful Saturday morning.
Well, it's funny. I was doing a little research on the farmers market, and I found out it's the 25th year. I didn't know that last time I was here. And it's one of the largest in the state.
Wow.
How about that?
I knew that. So, I knew it was one of the largest. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't know it was the 25th, though. It's open till noon today. It opened at 8, which is just a few minutes ago. We're on the corner of St. Paul and Madison.
Oh, yeah.
And for parking, you can actually park in the Waukesha State Bank parking lot. And there's other lots around here, but there's over 100 vendors. So if there's 100 vendors, that doesn't sound like a lot if you're at the store. But if you're at the farmer's market, you have to actually stop and look at everything. So if you want to come to the farmer's market, get down here because there's so much to see. All Wisconsin businesses, 100 vendors, the largest in the state. You can't beat it. Fresh produce. We are next to the ketchup please guy who makes ketchup.
That's right.
And a flower guy on the other side. So come on down, say hi, stop at our booth. We've got candy and dog biscuits. And we're registering people for a bike. So hope to see you down here. And I'm Susie Austin for WAUK.
Thanks so much, Susie Austin. We'll check back with you at about the 8:30 4 mark, though. So thanks again for calling in. And Susie's absolutely nailed it on the head. I'm glad you kind of gave us an overview there of the available parking. There are a lot of people in Waukesha that don't know there is plenty of parking behind Waukesha State Bank and plenty to see, too, as we add new exhibitors here to their farmer's market. So, but returning to our star guest, my good friend and former fellow Alder and also a county legislator, Kathleen Cummings. And I'm holding here in the StreamYard kind of our Dewey defeats Truman moment. It's the cover of the Waukesha Freeman from, I believe, let's see here, the date was May 8th. And it says Cummings acquitted. And it's a picture of Kathleen with her arm in the air like a boxing champ with her attorney, and that's Donna Kugler, good friend of James Santel. And so we were talking as we were finishing that the first hour. Let's continue that conversation. I know Jim was involved. Do you remember where you were, Kathleen, when we were talking?
I have no idea.
All right, very good.
No idea. Good.
Jim, you got a refresher?
Absolutely. So absolutely, Kathleen. Once again, great to be with you this morning. Even talking about very challenging things, and appreciate so much your sharing your perspectives with not just Don and me, but obviously all the listening audience here as well. We were chatting a bit about that time between the search of your home when you first became aware, at least the location, not your home, obviously. But and before the case was charged, and attempts to prevent the charges in the first place. And I know you were chatting both on air and a little bit off air about the terrific role of your attorney, again, who I admire tremendously, the importance of defense counsel in all this, Tony Cotton, her son, and also colleague in that office, trying to persuade the state that there is not a case here, that there is, that you have some information. But let's try to understand what was going on here. This is a place, this is a location there that you are not living in. And I wonder if you recall any of that, attempts to persuade the state, the prosecutors, not to bring this in the first place. Do you recall any of that, Kathleen?
I do recall that this question had come up in my state assembly race in 2015. And there was a newspaper article written by the Waukesha Freeman, which entitled, "I'm Never Home," because I was watching my disabled son up at the Downing address. Mm-hmm. And I spent a great deal of my time. My husband worked 40 hours a week at that time. I would spend nights from time to time there. But the Roberta address was always my home.
Right.
We were transitioning Joseph. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to be... My husband and I wanted to create a future for Joseph so that he would know the neighborhood he lived in. We wanted to transition him to a place where he was loved, and we were going to establish our own group home. It didn't happen, but trust me, I would have got a house in Door County if I wanted a second home.
That was always the plan, right? That was your attempt that you and David and Joseph had together, right?
Yeah, we had it. We even talked about it, too. We had written out our wills that year in February of 21, and we were moving all that in that direction, and it just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to also remember COVID happened in between all of that, and that further made the situation worse, both in getting things done and how it affected many individuals without in these United States and around the world.
So that's the question we were leading to, was that it looks from, and again, I don't have that legal background that, of course, James does, but even a lay person like myself or your husband is an election judge.
No, he is an election judge. He's a poll worker.
Poll worker. I stand corrected. Okay. According to his training, you've satisfied all the requirements for residency with your identifications, with the proper paperwork, and yet
the warrants that were served me were addressed to 1325 East Roberta Avenue.
Right. And I want to make another correction too: is that it was the Walworth County Sheriff's
Department
where Burlington resides. We mentioned Burlington because the former city administrator was also a former city leader, administrator, manager, whatever the title was, in Burlington, and that it was the Walworth County Sheriff that were called upon as an objective investigative body or whatever, however, you know, Jim can phrase that for me. But do you think that this case would have gone to trial had there not been any type of political pressure from city leadership in Waukesha? City of Waukesha.
I learned not to deal in absolutes anymore.
Sure. But
and that is,
there were findings, though, that you had found that weren't introduced in the court, but they're on public record.
Correct.
About phone calls or inquiries.
Oh,
made.
Which one? The one when I went back to work?
When you went back to work, when you went to a city council meeting. I think it was like in late October, early November.
Like the time that I went back to work and then the next day... Kevin Lehner, city
and fingerprinted.
No, city administrator Kevin Lehner called the Walworth DA and said that what is she doing at these meetings and she voted. God forbid that I voted at a meeting that I was elected to, and I had every intention when I got back from sick leave that I would go back to work. But there was pressure during that time for me not to attend meetings. And then it became clear I couldn't do my job.
And Kathleen, to that point, and I know that Donna certainly has talked to you a lot about this. Throughout the time in America, for you, for every defendant who is charged, even in a pre-charging situation, certainly post-charging, there's a presumption of innocence, right? There's a presumption that you are not, in fact, guilty, and that stays with you until the time that a judge or a jury finds otherwise. And during that time, you can, in fact, do all the things you'd otherwise do, including exercise your obligations as a public official, vote, not only in that setting, but obviously more formally, do everything. There's nothing that you're not stripped of any civil rights. And I think that's what Don's inquiry and sort of the incredulity also goes to here, that there would be efforts to try to stop you from doing the other things that you're assigned to do, even while in America and here in Wisconsin, you're presumed innocent. And there's no assumption that those things would be stripped away from you.
I was found guilty before I had the trial.
I was
treated as a guilty person before the trial.
It seemed like the media was complicit with what was going on.
Correct.
And sorry to interrupt, but it's interesting to me that no other statewide media outlets have pursued this miscarriage of justice to, again, a public legislator who served with dignity and integrity for quarter of century in one legislative body, the county, and almost a quarter century at the city level. That
we showed cases throughout the state of Wisconsin, one being the Sullivan case that was being discussed more recently. At the time, we showed them the newspaper article that there wasn't some big nefarious plot, that I was not living in my home, but nothing seemed to be enough. Mm-hmm. Nothing seemed to be enough. They were out, they meaning the parties that be, who started this, were out to get me. Let's be honest here. I always let the city administrator or the mayor or somebody in authority when I left town. We went to have a family vacation in Door County with my son, two sons, and husband. So they knew I was gone. Then there's this effort to try to call me that we're going to do a search warrant of your home. And they had 8 squad cars, 4 at each car, 4 at each home, breaking in, because obviously I couldn't get teleport to Waukesha from Door County, let alone we don't get cell phone coverage in Door County. But and in search of a crime, they were there to find out where I was sleeping. And as a result, which is very public knowledge, they found that there were other issues happening. And that's why I went on medical leave. I took time for myself, which I had never done, to address some mental health issues that I had. And I've worked the program.
And to that point, again, Kathleen, to put this in a way that I'm sure Donna Kuchler or extraordinary attorney would also describe to you, that, you know, we've got a Fourth Amendment right in America to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. And that is overcome only, again, when there is a finding by a judge to go into a certain place. The extraordinary nature.
Sorry to cut in. We're going to continue this discussion here on This Week in Waukesha and give Jim a chance to finish his question and Kathleen Cummings a chance to answer here. Talk about it.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha. For those of you just tuning in, that was Out of the Darkness by one of my favorites, Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. Little Steven was the original lead guitarist for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, and also was the kind of the capa or the consigliere in the Sopranos with Silvio Dante. And so, but that song very fitting as Kathleen Cummings is here, Out of the Darkness after 30 months of hell. Facing seven charges of election fraud and acquitted on all of them back on May 7th. And her first media appearance since then, her first leg of her redemption tour. And she's joined by some very close friends here, Vicky Heckers, who was one of the witnesses testifying in her trial, and our mutual very good friend, Mary Jane Sanchez, who I think hustled back from a vacation at her father's cot to be here to support Kathleen. And so I know that's got to make you feel good that you had so much support from so many friends during this ordeal, yet there was still this huge public cloud over your reputation and your good name.
Yeah. I didn't even feel like I could go to church.
Yeah, I remember I saw you there that one day at St. Mary's, and I wanted to just grab you and hug you as you're coming back from communion, but I thought it might have been too much of a disruption, but regret that I didn't.
I wanted
the whole world to see, but
It was difficult when your whole life is scattered in ruin and in the front page of the Freeman and
other outlets.
And I don't really want to know about the other outlets. But it was out there. Yes.
So since the verdict,
yes,
you go to church, you go to the supermarket, any public. Do you find people are coming up to you and congratulating you and embrace, they feel it's comfortable, it's safe now to talk to Kathleen?
I believe it's safe.
And then
they feel safe.
During that 30 months, it was, you know, right? A lot of people were real like, oh, there's Kathleen coming. Like, you know, like there was, that hesitancy or that, which is sad, which is tragic.
Let's just say I didn't hear from them.
Good.
That would be a fair statement.
Sure.
But, you know, there are a lot of good people out there, and I could not have got through it without him.
Yes, absolutely. So, and we couldn't be happier for you. And we know that, you know, there's so much more in store for you here. I mean, you're still very young, in my opinion. And is running for elective office and something for you to think about in your future?
Well, I'm looking at all options, Don.
Well, spoken like a true politician here.
We
are talking integrity, and she gives us the watered-down answer. So, Jim Santel, tell us about.
Well, I think right now, I didn't do the radio show earlier because right after the trial, I honestly couldn't put two sentences together.
Sure.
And then I went on vacation with my siblings and had a wonderful time.
You went on a cruise, right?
Yes, to Alaska. I recommend it to everyone.
Sure.
Save up for it.
That's fantastic. So, Jim, I want to get back to you because I know you were in the middle of a question before we broke. And
sure. Kathleen, you were just describing that time period. We got notice that law enforcement has descended on your two properties and chatting kind of about the legal side of things, which I'm sure Donna and others have talked with you about as well, that it is an extraordinary thing, obviously, when a government decides, again, based upon a judicial imprimatur, if you will, that you're going to go into a home. It had to be a dramatic thing for you to find out that, again, your home and this other location which you're planning to turn into a group home for your son, that those are the subject of this search. Tell us more about your sense at that time. Again, this is fairly early on that you recognize that, oh my goodness, something very significant is happening here. Had to also have a dramatic impact, as to have a dramatic impact on anybody who is facing that kind of government action. And I suspect you too.
It was traumatic. Mm-hmm. It was just sheerly traumatic. We all live with things we don't want to share with other people. And for me, having been a mother of a disabled son and many other challenges, I didn't take care of myself. And as a result of that, other things were let go. The memo didn't say, is I sought mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. And I suffer from anxiety and depression. Got worse during COVID, and I was juggling balls, but I didn't even realize the balls weren't being juggled anymore. And so I've embraced that. I take medication for my OCD and continue to this day trying to have better health. I mean, in Boy Scouts, we have duty to God, duty to country, duty to self. Well, I forgot about the self part. And that's what I've worked on, to become a better me. But this thing nearly broke me. And I do believe it was their intention. It was absolutely their intentions to break me.
And I want to throw this point in real quick, was that, and I certainly want Jim's legal opinion, is that each time they offered you a plea, one of the provisions was that you're never to run for public office again. Interestingly enough, and the million-dollar question is that constitutional? Can a district attorney, can a prosecutor enforce that? Jim, we have 2 minutes.
Sure. And again, then obviously all these things are the subject of contracts, which are agreements between parties. All things can happen. My response, and again, I think Don and I are both interested in your response to that offer, is that, you know, again, you're presumed innocent until there is an adjudication here, an adjudication that would limit you in terms of what you can do in the future in your own public life. And it strikes me that term is at least problematic. And I would be interested in knowing, again, your reaction to it when, again, not only admitting if this would be a part of the arrangement, confessing to something you did not do and did not believe, but also then restricting your very capacity to go forward beyond a conviction, had to be also a dramatic thing for you to be confronted with, I'm guessing.
It was horrible. Early on, you asked me before, was there any...
You're okay.
Don was making little little gestures over there.
The 1 minute mark, that's all.
Oh, 1 minute. Well, yeah. 1 minute, let me think. The first thing that was proposed to me was... just take a felony, a $200 fine, no probation, no parole, and this thing will all be done with.
No jail time.
And I said, no. I said, I'm not a felon. I'm not going to agree to a felony. Maybe we could look at other things that maybe I could have done, but I didn't think I did. But, you know, but no, I am not a felon.
Trevor, we're going to continue talking about these different opportunities for Kathleen to plea out, as well as what's next for her in light of these this landmark acquittal, and so much more here as this week in Waukesha on this beautiful Saturday.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is in damage control after last week's debate, giving a lengthy interview to ABC. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
This may have stopped the bleeding, but the problem for Biden is he's already lost so much blood. The debate was such a shock to Democrats and independents who lean Democratic that it's going to be difficult to get him enough transfusions to keep going.
Heat records are falling in the West. CBS's Elise Preston is in Sacramento.
The West Coast is sizzling under extreme heat, with several cities reaching temperatures 15 to 30 degrees above normal for this time of year.
South Texas is getting ready for Beryl, which is expected to hit the area Monday. John Hall is with Texans on Mission.
While no one wants a disaster, one of the beautiful things that happens in times like this is communities pull together.
The National Hurricane Center predicts Beryl will gain strength tomorrow as it nears Texas. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Brewers hit another grand slam. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers in L.A. for game two tonight. Last night, in the top of the fourth, Milwaukee trailing the Dodgers in L.A. 2-1, bases loaded, one out, and Rhys Hoskins, in a hitting slump, is at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Fly ball deep left center field. It is up. It is going to be gone. Did he catch that ball? No, he did not. It's another grand slam. Are you kidding me?
The crew took a 5-4 lead, but it wasn't enough. The Dodgers came back in the eighth to beat Milwaukee by a final score of 8-5. Did Rhys Hoskins meet in Pat Murphy's office on Thursday about his 0-12 slump in Colorado this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he's got to feel great about it. You know what I mean? To put that good swing on that pitch from a pitcher like Glasnow and gave us a chance to win.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WAUK weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield. Stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mix of sun and clouds today, a high in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, pop-up storms in the afternoon and evening, highs to the upper 70s. Rain chances continue on Monday and Tuesday. It's 60 right now.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight. And Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. And we're talking about a revolution that includes Kathleen Cummings' victory over injustice and the first leg of her redemption tour. We're proud to have here on the show. But first, our second report from the farmer's market. Susie, are you there?
I am, and we're having a farmer's market revolution down here.
Love it. Yes.
100 vendors here, and it's great. It's one of the largest in the state. We're right on the corner of St. Paul and Madison. Come on down, just park in the Waukesha State Bank parking lot. And it's open till noon, and it's the 25th annual farmer's market. And some of we're right next to the Ketchup Please place.
That's your
thing. That's got an interesting story because this guy started this business when he was a freshman in high school because he had heart surgery and couldn't find ketchup that was organic or sugar-free. And now he's got it in stores. And the best thing about it is you get to sample it on a potato chip. So I'm all for that. Then there's also Mamzelle Designs with unique and fun homemade jewelry. Robert's Produce. Now, this is great because they grow everything naturally and pesticide-free. So who wouldn't want that? And Serenity Soap Works. They're another featured vendor here. Goat's Milk Soap Bars. Nothing gets you cleaner than goat's milk, right?
That's
and
it.
Then Sunrise. This word I always had problems with. Sunrise Asia Bowls. And don't ask about my phonetic spelling of it, but they're down here too. And we're having lots of fun meeting people. We're right across from the Waukesha DBA, doing business as .com booth, Bayview Bread, grass-fed beef, and right next to the Ketchup Please booth. So come on down. We're registering people to win a bike. And
nice.
Well, I hope to see you here. This is Susie Austin for WAUK.
Hey, thanks.
Farmers Market.
You too, Susie. Thanks for calling in. And Susie mentioned 25th anniversary of our farmer's market, and that's good timing for me to talk about another 25th anniversary that'll be honored next week. We hope to have a guest from the Ironworkers on the show next Sunday, the 14th, 5:12 p.m. was the was when the tragic accident took place at the building, the construction of what was then called Miller Park, and three ironworkers, Jeffrey Wisher, William DeGrave, and Jerome Jerry Starr lost their lives when a crane nicknamed Big Blue collapsed while lifting a section of the retractable roof onto what would become the new Miller Park Baseball Stadium in Milwaukee when it opened in 2001. And so the Ironworkers and some other groups are honoring that tragic loss and their legacy and the great work that the Ironworkers and so many other great tradesmen and women did in putting that that beautiful park together now called American Family Field. And so we hope to be spending more time on that next week. I also want to spend time next week and just briefly today. We talked about it last week about we saw an article in the Freeman about Flippin' Fabulous is leaving town, a Main Street business. They found a new location in Burlington they're pleased with, but the reasons for them leaving are still very troubling to me, and they should be to other Waukesha residents, that they were bullied by a neighboring business unfairly, and that should not be the culture. That should not be what happens here in Waukesha, where we have Friday Night Live. We have this Waukesha strong culture, and you want your competition to do well. You beat your competition with fair play, with fair trade, with you try to exceed them maybe in customer service and in quality of products, but not the tactics that a certain business resorted to. And I'm hoping if we can get someone from the Downtown Business Association here next week to speak to that as well. So, but, and then a final announcement before we continue with Kathleen is, thanks to Luke Mather for sharing this with me, is at the Waukesha Public Library on, Friday, July 19th at 4 PM, there'll be a presentation of the original, Sinclair Lewis, play called It Can't Happen Here Again, a nationwide celebration of resistance. Now, this speaks to what's going on nationally, but I would also say it can happen here again locally in light of what had happened to Kathleen Cummings with this mistrial of justice that she overcame successfully, but at a huge cost, separating her from one family member, costing her over $85,000 in legal fees and much, much distressed and disrepair to her reputation, to her good name. And Jim Santel from Amicus, I want to give the floor back to you, the chair, if you will, to continue this discussion with Kathleen.
Sure. Kathleen, once again, so much appreciative of your candor, your thoughts, both intellectual, emotional, obviously many, many things to chat about here as well. Just in the break, we were talking also about the role of the judge, and you were commenting about that. His name, of course, is Philip Koss. For what it's worth, many years ago, I appeared in front of him in some cases on behalf of the federal government. He makes this finding at the end of all the testimony, including, as you indicated, testimony of this litany of witnesses, including Vicky, very clearly saying you're not living there in the Downing Drive address. You're there at Roberta Avenue. He makes a finding that the government has wholly failed to present its case beyond a reasonable doubt to his persuasion and does acquit you, which means that he finds you not guilty. The charges are not supported by that. Your thoughts very generally on the role of the judge, your sense of him, and what happened here in the end from the bench, deciding that, in fact, all these charges had to be dismissed and there's no merit to them.
Well, to be honest, I was disappointed in the judge along the way because my attorney had submitted many appeals, and I thought, oh, for sure, this one.
This
for
is
sure,
the one.
This is going to be the one. And so I think I wasn't really sure he was giving his verdict, his appraisal when it was happening. I thought all defendants stood up and you sit down. It's not like Perry Mason. It's not right. Like Perry Mason.
He is talking about the merits of the case,
yes,
right? He is actually describing, right?
He's just talking as you would. He's talking from the bench in his first, and I think I said this in the earlier hour, but you weren't there. He says, and Zeke, you went to college at such and such. And he goes, yes. And he goes, and your home was here. Yes. And where did you vote? He said, well, it's not maybe a exact analogy, but it's there, was his first thing he had said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
Then he went down the list.
Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a jury, which comes back. We do not get the benefit of their analysis. We shouldn't. They come back and they reach a verdict, guilty or not guilty. Here you've got a court trial, which obviously you and Donna had agreed to and waived, obviously a wise decision in terms of what you knew to be the facts of the case. But the judge there does give you the benefit of his analysis, and that's what you were hearing at the time,
yes,
of the verdict.
He had like 5 points, mm-hmm, that he felt that my husband's testimony was, mm-hmm, credible.
David, right?
Was reasonable.
Right.
Yes, David. And the witnesses, not one witness, placed me there.
Mm-hmm, right. You indicated early in the first hour in response to one of Don's questions also that even some of the prosecution witnesses on Donna's cross-examination provided information supporting your position that you, in fact, did not live at the other location.
That's correct. And like, for instance, one of them had picked up a Christmas wreath, and I have no knowledge of that. I don't remember it at all.
Right.
I'm sure glad she remembered, because I didn't remember. But yeah, it was something. I was going to say something, but it slipped my thoughts.
That's
maybe when you go on, it'll come to me.
Sure. That is just fine. Obviously, as you indicated, the kind of process here that I've always said this on the shows here and other Don's show and other broadcasts, that criminal prosecution is human tragedy of any kind. And your situation certainly underscores that. It is no one is should be happy about any of this. And especially in this situation where it turns out that there is no support for the charges. And again, my commonly used phrase, human tragedy. And regrettably, that is what you've experienced as well.
This should never happen to another elected official, ever.
Or a private citizen.
Exactly. I did this because I'm here today because I wanted, first of all, I wasn't guilty. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the week before the trial, I'm thinking, do I lie now or did I lie then? Mm-hmm. You know, I went through this back and forth in my head. And the fact is, I didn't lie. But the whole system is set up for you to take a plea deal. And I was never, you know, it is true what you said. Our Constitution is set up that you are innocent until proven guilty. But I was proven guilty before I was proven innocent.
In the court of public opinion and out there in the media.
Everything, the radio shows, the not yours, Don, radio shows. And I'm not sure of the other ones because I was sheltering myself from those things because I couldn't deal with one more thing. And that's really what happened. I went back to work with the full knowledge to represent the 9th and the 25th district of Waukesha County. And when those phone calls went back and forth to the DA in Walworth County saying she should not be here, it was inferred, implied, but definitely I felt that I didn't know where or when.
Not from the DA, but from the city administrator to the DA of Waukesha.
The city of, correct.
Clarify that.
Thank you, Don. Keeping me honest.
Now you did it for me when we were on the council.
Yeah, I did. I did try to do that. It was Waukesha City Administrator Kevin Lehner, yep. And we have the footnotes to prove it, that he is the one that after the council meeting called the Walworth DA and said, why is she here? She voted last night. God forbid she voted. She was there for the whole meeting. Of course I was there for the whole meeting. I was on sick leave, and I came back. I fully intended to fulfill my term, but at that point, with this going on for about 10 days, I decided I do not want my constituents that I represented faithfully for nearly 25 years, closer to right square in the middle, to go through the hell that I was going to go through. I didn't want my constituents to be saying, yes, she should resign. No, she shouldn't resign. Back and forth and back and forth. They deserved better. And I resigned to retire because I didn't know what was going to happen next. I was pretty sure, but not for sure, because the threat of being arrested anywhere, anytime, maybe on the council floor, was there. Definitely, I felt it. There was no place for me to go. But it was an honor and a privilege to represent the 9th and the 25th. It was my passion. I did many good things as their elected official. I have stories that I could tell you that's probably two arms and both legs and a whole body that I could share with you. But I really believed in the Constitution. I really believed in the process. I believed in policy. And none of those things worked for me. I couldn't even go to HR through this. I felt I couldn't even go to HR. I've now told that maybe I could have. But when Kevin Lehner made a rule in January of 21 that all city staff is to let him know that any alderman coming to them talking or asking a question or wanting them to do something, they had to report it to the city administrator, Kevin Lehner. And that was done in January. The council did not become aware of that till much later, closer to April. But I had said that by doing so, he set up every city employee to be insubordinate to him if they talked to us. So we couldn't do our job.
And as a point of reference, in terms of the leadership hierarchy, the city administrator reports to the city council.
Correct.
Not the other way around.
Right. But that's not how it worked in the city of Waukesha then.
Yep. We're going to continue this discussion with Kathleen Cummings and my good friend James Sam Tell, this week in Waukesha, plus some more good local news here. On WUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And don't forget to download the Civic Media app if you have not already.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. Whatever happened to Tony Horton, the guy who created the revolutionary P90X?
2017, I was knocked down. A very rare type of shingles that went straight into my brain. My body was completely wasting away. I started researching everything related to building my muscle back again. That's when I learned about the potential of HMB plus vitamin D3 and what they can do when it comes to helping build new muscle.
So Tony developed High Impact Protein by Power Life.
Just add one scoop of High Impact Protein to a glass of water or your morning smoothie and enjoy the effects of that boss molecule and factory worker combination, reshaping your body each and every day. More energy, burn more fat, and probably drop a few pounds along the way.
High Impact Protein by Power Life is a tasty once-a-day powder that comes in either whey or plant protein. Go to mypowerlife.com and use code Horton to save 30%. Tony even offers a 90-day guarantee. Go to mypowerlife.com or text Horton to 511-511. Text Horton to 511-511 today.
All individuals are unique. Your results can and will vary. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha. That's my good friend Todd Rundgren in Utopia with One World. And one of my favorite lines in that show, that song, is politicians and dictators and the guys with the dough, they think they run the world, but they just don't know that down here on the streets, we got it under control. From Berlin to San Francisco, from New York to Tokyo, One World. And my guest, Kathleen Cummings, would agree that's how it should be.
That's how it should be.
And I also want to, you know, put something else out there, too, was that because I know we have this very polarizing national political battle going on. That's really unfortunate. And at the local level, you know, Kathleen and I'd say we're on different sides of the spectrum. I don't have a party affiliation, but I have tended to vote more with Democratic candidates. I call myself an American orphan. I have Republican roots in my family. Parents were Republicans. Grandparents were immigrants, Democrats, and I was influenced by both, well, positively and negatively. But at the local level, none of that going on in the way. And if you saw what the things that Kathleen had championed for families of people with disabilities, for preserving our historic landmarks, that again, she's a great example, and it's very akin to the civic media mission that there's so much more that unites us, so many common values we share as Americans, and it was unfortunate in this nonpartisan environment that's local politics that this, again, this miscarriage of justice had taken place. Is that fair to say, Jim Santel?
I think that's exactly right. And Kathleen, we've talked a lot about the process here and about various aspects of the investigation, the search, the charging, the role of the judge, that sort of thing. And I want to get back to something that you said early on and began our discussion, at least my involvement in it this morning, and that is the role of defense counsel. Sometimes I often speak about this. Everybody plays their part. The judge, the witnesses, certainly the defendant, the prosecutor, the court staff, everybody's got a role. And if everybody does their job, I'd like to think that justice is done. In this case, ultimately it is, even though you had to be subjected to a process much too long. Comment, if you will, again, about the importance of defense counsel in this process that contemplates ultimately that the rule of law and justice is achieved. And Donna, in particular, if you'd like to.
Well, I can't give enough kudos to Donna Kuchler, her team. I mean, it's just not a lawyer. It's an entire staff. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the Kate, the paralegal. You have, I think Brian is in her office. He put forth many things. But it becomes like a team effort. And just like with a constituent coming to me with a problem, I knew how to work that. I knew how to work at getting things done.
You know that area of the world, right?
Correct. Right. I did not know law enforcement, legal stuff at all. Like Don said earlier, I might have had two traffic tickets in my life. And that was about it that I can recall.
Nor should you have to, right? And thus now.
Yeah, but I'm hedging my bets so that I still think I'm in a court of law.
That's right. You've had this massive unfortunate, but in instruction education in this process, and you've commented very graphically on it. And again, that notion of being represented, hugely important as a part of ensuring that justice is done.
I hear something a good friend on the council said to me once. I mean, this is how I believed. I really believed in truth, justice, and the American way. I was in this utopia type of mindset that if all we have to do is work the problem and we'll make it work. And I really believe that to my core. But what I've learned through this process is that I was wrong. The system is set up for plea deals. The system is set up for outcomes, whether it be a DA getting reelected or truth, you know. But I really believed it was fair. I mean, I could, through this whole process, I could not believe I had been charged. And yet I had to deal with it. And this friend of mine said to me, Kathleen, we knew you believed it, but we knew different. And she was of a Hispanic background. I really believed it. So now I think, okay, when I watch a newsreel, when I read something in the paper, I say, what are you not telling me?
What is the rest of that story?
Because it is not fair. It is not right. And there are people in jail probably today that took the plea deal that were innocent.
Yeah, how about that?
Because I was offered several. One starting, like I said, with the $200 fine and one felony, and I said no. Then they charged me with 6 more felonies. And then just before the last several weeks, they went into closed chambers. And the question, what is the problem here, says the judge. So, it says, I have to be quiet, huh, Don?
No, I say, in their final 2 minutes.
Oh, final 2 minutes. I was worried I'd have nothing to say.
No, you did great. What is it you'd like listeners to know that we haven't covered already, James and myself, regarding your ordeal and what we can look forward to with the future of a vindicated Kathleen Cummings?
Number one, I have to put my family back together. My family was destroyed because of this. There is a ache in my heart that has not gone away because Joseph is not with me. I have not seen my son since August of 22. I was fearful. I had to be mindful that I was under a bond. I had to be mindful of what anything I did. It has cost us financially during a time when we were supposed to all go on cruises and enjoy retirement. It cost dreams because that particular year I was going to run for mayor. I had people asking me to run for mayor, and that certainly didn't happen. I just always wanted to make it a better place to live, work, and play. I always gave it my best, and if I failed, it isn't because I didn't try.
Thank you. Kathleen Cummings, thank you so much for your courage in overcoming injustice and for being here today and for your friendship and for all that you've done for the people of the city and county of Waukesha. Thanks, everybody, for participating today. Thanks for James Centel. His show, Amicus, is next.
Thanks, Kathleen.
And please remember, everybody, in this holiday weekend, safety is everyone's responsibility. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer. And again, to Kathleen Cummings, thank you and God bless you. And see ya!
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Joe Budden Hangover from Madison, and Dom joins us. Tune in Monday.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Whether you're grilling burgers at the cabin or roasting hot dogs around a campfire, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls are a summertime essential. With so many varieties to choose from, including classic white and wheat, unsliced old fashioned, brioche, gourmet French, and flavorful onion, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth has the buns and rolls your family will love. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth, baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.